The Catholic Channel, Sirius 159, and XM 117 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Each week we talk with those people who are trying to make our world a better place. They do it in a variety of ways. And this week, one of the people who we're going to be speaking with is Mark Murphy in a little bit. And we're speaking with him because this is in the Northeast. It's Maritime Week. And so the New York City Marathon is coming up shortly. And marathon runners run for a variety of reasons. They run for a whole purpose of reasons. But at Catholic Charities, we have 11 runners this year who are representing us in the race and collectively have raised, probably over $70,000 to help New Yorkers in need, and particularly to help those families who can use a little help around the Christmas time. And so we're delighted. So our first guest, Mark Murphy, is going to join us here in the studio. And we're delighted that this time of the year, that as the weather gets a little bit more fall-like, it's better. You know, Angie, what's the weather like in Texas? Do you guys always have sun, and is it always wonderful?
It's about, well, right now it's really rainy.
Rainy?
But yeah, it's okay. Very rainy, but it's usually like 85, 90 around this time.
But that's in Austin?
That's in Austin.
What about the rest of the state? Or the rest of the state doesn't matter?
The rest of the state doesn't matter.
Okay, that's because Austin's the capital, and you're from Austin, and that's all that matters.
Of course.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I want you to know that my apple soiree is kind of continuing.
Apple soiree, okay.
My apple soiree. And actually, you know what happened? Yesterday, I was driving to Albany. Albany, for those of the rest of the country, is about a 2.5-3 hour drive from New York City. And I was driving with somebody to a meeting there, and the person in the car said to me, "Boy, what's that? What's that kind of air freshener that you have in the car?" I said, "No. What's here?" "It's apples." Because I still got bunches of apples in the trunk of my car.
You haven't gotten them out?
No, well, I haven't gotten all of them out.
Won't they be bruised?
No. I drive very gently. So the apples are
okay.
Real gentle. No. But apples are one of the best fruits in the whole world because they last forever. So they don't go bad. You know, you really got to do a lot of stuff to make them bad.
Oh.
The only thing you can do to make them bad, if you get one, you know what they say? One bad apple?
Oh, yeah.
You know why they say that?
No.
Because if you do have a bad apple, then it contaminates the rest that you got in the bag or the rest in the stuff because it kind of begins to kind of do rotting things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought that was just like with mold and bread.
No. It's like with apples too. It spreads.
Oh, okay.
It spreads. But if you don't, then they last for a pretty long time. They're pretty hardy stuff. So I still got I owe you an apple pie.
Yes, you do. I will not let that one go.
Okay, you'll get an apple pie. Actually,
thank you.
I don't know. Maybe for next week you get an apple pie.
Okay. It was a little one.
You want just a baby one, right?
Yeah, just a little baby one.
Okay,
baby. I don't want a big old apple pie all to myself.
Okay, what kind of crust you want on it?
Oh, I don't, cinnamon stuff, I guess?
All right. Okay, we can do that. All right. So some people want crumb crust, somewhat. We'll give you regular crust with a little cinnamon on it.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
And I want little leafed designs on it as well.
Oh, you. Boy.
This, I know.
I know.
It's, I'm picky.
Little high maintenance over here. Anyway, so why don't we go to our first guest, who is Mark Murphy, who's here in the studio. He is a managing director of business development at Contrarian Capital Management, and he has his BS in finance from the University of Connecticut, and he is one of the marathon runners for Team Catholic Charities this year. Mark Murphy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Mark, I'm just, first of all, thank you for running for Catholic Charities. And I begin by saying I'm jealous. I mean, how do you run 26 miles? How do you do that?
Well, you need 5 hours to get it done, that's for sure. But there's a lot of preparation, certainly, a lot of exercise and a lot of stretching and a lot of ice, I would say, as it relates to the Catholic Charities, there's been a lot of inspiration, okay, and a lot of inspiration for me and for my fellow runners. Many of us, if they're like me, you know, they're weekend warriors, and felt a call to run this marathon this year, not only to improve our own physical fitness, but in a real way to be helpful to other people as well by raising money for Catholic Charities and specifically for the St. Nicholas Project.
Well, Mark, we're just delighted, and thank you so much. Thank your fellow runners. Have you run in marathons before?
You know, I did run one marathon before, so it's not completely foreign to me. I did run in 1998.
Okay.
And that was a full 17 years ago. So for all intents and purposes, it's a new experience for me, and obviously as you can tell, I'm a lot older.
Now, when in 1990, was it the New York Marathon?
It was indeed.
Okay, so that's good. Now, boy, I like sports. I like athletics. I like those things. But running, that just gets me. But do you actually like running?
It's an acquired taste.
Okay.
I mean, I was at University of Connecticut, in addition to getting a finance degree, I was also a football player.
Okay.
And I played offensive line. So the most I ran then was about 5 yards.
Okay.
Before I ran into a linebacker. But after I graduated and, sort of entered into the professional world, was doing things to maintain, you know, some physical fitness over time. And one of those was running, which, you know, to your point, you know, was not something that came to me naturally for sure. And I would not characterize myself as a long distance runner. I'm more of a runner for maintenance. And so the marathon is something that's unique and special for me, and I think for many of our fellow runners on Team Catholic Charities as well.
Well, I'm just so delighted that you do. How'd you hear about Team Catholic Charities?
Well, it's an interesting story. My initial motivation, I would say, to running Catholic Charities was I celebrated an important birthday this year. And like many years in the past, I'd say, insert my age in the sentence, blank is just a number.
Right.
And for years, it was 43 is just a number, 45 is just a number, 47. This year is a number that one would argue is very large and quite round. So had a particular meaning for me. But I would still say with confidence and with a little bit of pride and defiance, 50 is just a number. But that catalyzed me to say, you know, geez, what am I going to do that's really special for my birthday to celebrate? And I came home and announced to my wife, I said, for my 50th birthday, I'm going to run the New York City Marathon. And she gave me this look, and she has this uncanny ability, I think, to communicate without using any words. And the words that she communicated, or I should say the message she communicated without words was, you're crazy. So I came back and I thought about it and prayed on it and discerned it a little bit longer. I came back to her the next day. I said, you know what? I'm going to run the New York City Marathon and raise money for charity. And I got a decidedly different reaction from her, my wife, and I love her very much. And she said to me, you have to do it. This is something you have to do. This message she communicated with words. And so I, just a day or two later, I opened up my issue of Catholic New York, and there was this big advertisement on the page. It was probably a tiny advertisement,
right,
but it jumped out at me and it said, join our team. And it was the ad for Team Catholic Charities. So I had to apply to it. And I sent in an email, you know, basically making my case that I should be on the team. And I was pleased to say that I was.
Well, Mark,
we're
so glad that you're on the team. Thank you. I mean, actually, just a little bit of it. So, Angie, are you a runner?
I'm not a runner.
Well, listen, we got you now to be a voter.
Yes, I can vote. I like to go to spin classes.
Okay.
I like to walk. That doesn't count, does it?
Well, sure. You know what they say, right? What do they say?
What do they say?
What do you got to do before you run?
Walk?
Before you run.
Oh.
Come on. You know.
Well, Mark and I are looking at each other like, we don't know.
Sure you do. You got to walk before you run.
Okay, that's true.
So you're walking.
Yes. So.
Okay. When you went to college, you play any sports?
Tennis.
Okay, so that's
not like on a tennis team, but just.
But you played tennis.
Yeah.
All right. You like the clothes.
I like the clothes and the cute shoes. No, it's a great sport. Mark, do you have any fancy running shoes?
Boy, no. I would say I go to the running store and I say, I very typically will say, give me the same shoes I have that are a year later. I give me the new version.
Okay.
You know, I've sort of taken to the minimalist shoes, the sort of the ones with the lower angle. I think they are, they sort of force you to run a certain way, which is beneficial for me, who's over 200 pounds. I want to make sure I'm running with the right form. And I think they have shoes.
That's a lot of man. That's true.
That is great. But, you know, what I'm delighted about with the New York City Marathon and Catholic Charities, one of our board members, a wonderful board member, Susan Solis, who had this idea probably 5 or 6 years ago, that she said, basically, you know, Catholic Charities is one of those kind of premier organizations, I always say sadly, because we help so many people, because so many people need help, but we do it a way which, you know, we do it with compassion, with dignity. And what Susan said to us, she said, listen, one of the most premier events in New York City is the New York City Marathon. So we should be associated with it, and they should be associated with us. So we began with just kind of a handful of people who kind of ran it the first year. And then we built, and now we're up to 11 people, and now we've gotten you, Mark, and it's just delighted with your wife's support.
Well, thank you very much. If I may, I'm going to read off the names of the other runners.
Please do it.
Katrina Maniego, James Intermont, Lisa Huber, Gina Kim, Reed Whiting, Jennifer Ropka, Jason Huber, Amanda Weber, Nick Libertini, Vanessa Spato, Jeff Huber, and Angela Velike, who's really the one who's been supporting us on email with the inspiration and the fundraising tips. And then I did have the chance to communicate on email with Susan Solis.
Good.
And she was very, very gracious and was very, very supportive of our efforts. And I'm thrilled to, you know, be in partnership with her on this effort.
Oh, it's just great. And actually, I think next Friday.
That's right.
We're gonna have a lunch with all of the runners 2 days before the marathon to kind of say thank you, to encourage them. And I think we're probably gonna have a bunch of people who are kind of cheering on at one of the corners there to cheer on people. So it's great. Now you're active in your parish, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Which parish is that?
I'm at Blessed Sacrament Parish on West 71st Street.
Okay, that's a wonderful parish. And actually, for years, one of the priests who had worked with Catholic Charities, Monsignor Tui, lived there for many years. He passed away probably about five years ago. Or something like that. But actually, Monsignor Tui was a runner.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I met him after his running days. And,
yeah.
What a wonderful man he was. I remember him before he passed away. He witnessed a document that I needed to sign to get my own Irish passport. My father was born in Dublin, Ireland. That's for another show, but I have that great affinity for Monsignor Tui. I really enjoyed him a lot.
Yeah, he was wonderful, and in fact, he ran quite a bit, and he ran in Central Park, and he was actually somebody who our offices at Catholic Charities are near the United Nations. So for people who know New York a little bit, where Mark is talking about where he lived and the parish he's talking about is more or less near where Lincoln Center is, if people know where that is. And our Catholic Charities office are kind of on the other side of town, a little bit up from the United Nations. But Monsignor Tui would walk back and forth from there through Central Park. Just love the walk that he had there.
That's right.
So you say it's going to take 5 hours.
Well, I'm giving myself plenty of time. You know, at my age, I'm not shooting for a time. In fact, people will say to me, "Well, what time are you going to get?" And I half kiddingly say, "Well, I'm hoping to get daytime." but you know, when I ran it in 98, I did it in about 5 hours. I would say again to Angela's benefit, you know, I think the older you are, the better you are at training for a longer marathon is what I've heard and read. It's in part because you're more thoughtful about how you run and how you train, recognizing your own limitations. As a result, I think I've trained better, and I think my experience is going to be much, much more enjoyable, free of injury, hopefully, and in an ideal world, in quicker time than I did 17 years ago.
So, Mark, give our listeners, tell me a little bit, because how do you train for this?
Well, since I'm not a, as I say, since I'm not a long distance runner by nature, I used a lot of resources. I went to primarily to the New York Road Runners Club, which I joined to sign up for the New York Marathon. And they have a number of different programs that you can download, and they're based on your ability and your age and your experience. I took the lowest common denominator and downloaded that, and it was and I signed up for that. They gave me the amount of mileage and the amount and the days I needed to run, and the type of running that I needed to do. So I had a lot of direction. What was particularly helpful is I did team up with a group in the summer that was using another program, so I sort of implemented a couple different programs during my training. But also to have that camaraderie and that fellowship with other people was also very, very helpful.
Now, you're speaking to a non-runner, so I don't know the slightest thing of what you're talking about. So, like, does the program say, you know, you got to run 6 miles on Monday and 12 miles on Tuesday and 7 miles on give us a concreteness of, let's say, how you spent August.
Well, that's well. I was going to say you've hit it right on the head. I mean, I can almost do it from memory. Mondays are
one of the things about our show on Just Love. Nobody can lie on the show, but if they don't always get it exactly right, that's okay, right?
Right.
Right.
I agree.
So we're going to trust your memory, even if maybe it's a little off.
So this will be pretty close. Okay. I ran it enough times. It'll be pretty close. But Monday is going to be what they call a flex day. You can run 3 miles, or you can do something else like a spin class, or you can even take the day off, which I did many times.
Can you go out for ice cream? that's what Angie and I would do. We'd go for ice cream.
If you have apple pie underneath it, I think you can.
Okay.
There you go.
With all the running you're doing, you can cheat a little bit.
Okay, so Monday's flex day.
So Monday's flex day. Tuesday would be a 3 to 6 mile run, depending on where you were in the training. You'd be 3 miles would be in the beginning, 6 miles would be at the peak, and then you begin to taper down. Wednesday you have off. Again, this is my program. Wednesday you have off. Thursday you'd run maybe 5 to 10, and then Friday off. And Saturday you'd run maybe 6 to 12.
Okay.
And then Sundays would be the long run, where you'd run anywhere from 10 to 20 is the longest that I've run for this program.
Okay. Now, Angie, so if I get this right, Monday's flex day.
Okay.
Tuesday is 3 to 6, right? Mm-hmm. Wednesday's off. Thursday is 6 to 12.
Yeah.
Is that what?
6 to 10. Yep.
6 to 10. Friday's
off.
Off, and then Sunday is the long one, right?
That's right.
Right. I want to do the Monday, Wednesday, Friday piece.
That's.
I could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that.
The
we
flex,
could all
the
do
off.
That.
The off.
You don't need any training for that.
You don't need any training for that. So where'd you run though?
Well, I ran mostly in Central Park.
Okay.
But for the long runs, it can get a little bit monotonous. Even as beautiful as Central Park is, you run around the loop. Yeah. It's 3 times to get 18 miles. So that can be a little bit monotonous. So I'd switch it up a little bit. Because I'm on the west side, I could run over to the river and run all the way up almost to the George Washington Bridge and back, and that'd be about a 10-mile run.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things, again, for our listeners throughout the country, one of the things that's kind of really fascinating about New York, I mean, give or take, we got 7 or 8 million people hanging around this city and the metropolitan area, so lots and lots of people. But right plunk in the middle of this is this, like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of a park.
Mm.
And that's what Mark's talking about, where he did most of his running. And you've been there, haven't you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so we got this big park there, which is there. But the other thing, which we know it, but it's so obvious, Manhattan is an island, okay? Mm-hmm. And now a little bit of geography. Does it mean? What's an island mean? What's the definition of an island?
Well, there's just water surrounding.
You got it. So this is the piece that's really wonderful, is in recent years, I don't know if it's completely completed yet, but they've begun to create a pathway around the entire island.
Oh, wow.
So you can walk or run all the way around. I don't think it's 100% completed, but did you? But you were talking about running probably a quarter of that
right.
up to the George Washington Bridge and back.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that, and it's very beautiful. As I say, I'm familiar with the West Side, where they've done a lot of work, and it's absolutely beautiful running along the Hudson River. And I would run, for this training event, I'd run up towards the GW Bridge, but in years past, I'd run down all the way to Battery Park City.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I am aware that I could have kept going and ultimately made it all around the island.
Yeah, it is it's a great opportunity. And you're going to be pretty much running alone, right? Because nobody like really signs up for this marathon, right? It's just, a dozen or so people. How many people are going to be part of this marathon? Do you know?
Well, I hear 50,000. I think it's probably at least that.
Oh, it's a huge number. And it is incredible. And how do they, it's staggered a little bit, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So they have the elite runners start first, and then guys like me wait until the very end.
Well, I don't know. 5 hours is, I bet you 5 hours. I think the elite runners are like between two and a half. Is that
something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, probably, I bet you 5 hours is probably somewhere around the 50th percentile, something like that. I bet. You know, I don't know, but it strikes me that there are a lot of people who
come after that,
who don't make it by daylight, by the time they kind of get there. But the other part of this marathon, I think they do also have a part where people with disabilities also can run.
That's right. So I've seen a number of folks with physical disabilities that are actually also training in Central Park. So that's wonderful to see as well.
Yeah, so it is a wonderful opportunity. You know, after we take a break in the latter part of the show, we're going to be speaking with a guest who is kind of on the other side of this. He's the person, Brian Allen. He chairs the volunteer committee of the Junior Board, which organizes the St. Nicholas Project.
Mm-hmm.
So the runners for this who are running are raising money to make sure that we can help the families that we need to help. So that's a piece of the pie. It's interesting because let me just ask you a question, Mark. Obviously, you're successful at business and you spend most of your time working on your business thing. How do you kind of integrate what you're doing charitably with your business work? How do you see that as kind of part of your life?
Well, it's like anything. I think for folks that have that interest, oftentimes they're inspired by a person or several people or by their faith. And that certainly has been the case with me. I've been very, very blessed, I'd say, throughout my whole life. I've had great parents who were really my first teachers in the faith. My father's been dead for 30 years, but I still think of him every day fondly. My mother passed away a few years ago, and she was a great example to me and to my five brothers growing up.
Grow up in the Northeast?
I grew up in Madison, Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and where a number of my brothers have settled.
Now, just parenthetically, my apples come from Washington, Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful part of the state.
Because my cousin lives in Oxford, Connecticut.
Ah, I see.
Right near Southbury. And so we go up there and then we go to her, what we call it now, her orchard.
Yes.
Because this is the one she always insists we go to in Washington, Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the state, to be sure. And so, if you have that inspiration and you have that that drive, I think, it's like anything, you make time for it. And so I've been fortunate. I work with a great company, great organization with great leaders who have been supportive, not only sort of morally, but financially. They were contributors to this run, which I'm pleased to report. And they've also, have been supportive of me for my efforts here. Now, I run in the morning, and then I go to work, so I don't get time off to go to do this. But they've been very, very supportive.
Well, that's good. And, Mark, I just am absolutely delighted. I'm delighted that when you said you were doing it for charity, that your wife kind of said, yeah, got to do it. And I'm delighted that you're running for Team Catholic Charities. We just love people who, you know, want to give back, who are incredibly generous. And so thank you, Mark, for running for us. I'm just absolutely delighted. And please thank also your business partners for their generosity. And I wish I'm hoping you get a little bit under 5 hours.
I'll report back
on that. So
it's kind of you to thank me. I feel a little bit embarrassed because it's something that I enjoy doing, and so
that's great.
I really appreciate it.
So thanks for being with us, Mark Murphy, who is a member of Team Catholic Charities, who very shortly is going to be running the New York Marathon, and he's going to run it from my word under 5 hours. And he's going to be real successful. It doesn't matter if he's the front of the pack, back of the pack, but he's going to do a great job. And he's raised money so that families are going to be able to have a much better Christmas and be helped throughout the years by Catholic Charities through our St. Nicholas Project. So, Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, I think we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll kind of talk with Tom a little bit about news that's going on. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be speaking with Brian Allen, who is the chair of the Volunteer Committee of the Junior Board of Catholic Charities. And we're going to talk about what's going on with the St. Nicholas Project and how we're going to help a lot of families this year. So I think we'll take a break now and join us when we come back on the Catholic Channel. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love. We're on Sirius 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just Love, just do it. Just love God, just love your neighbor, and we will create a more just and a more compassionate world. On Just Love, we speak with those people who try to make our world more just and more compassionate. And we're delighted to speak with Mark Murphy, who is running on Team Catholic Charities to make our world more compassionate by raising some money so that we can help families through our St. Nicholas Project. And a little bit later on, we're going to speak with Brian Allen, who is the chair of the Volunteer Committee of the Junior Board of Catholic Charities, and he's an associate at Baker Hostella. And we're going to speak with him about his role in making sure that the St. Nicholas Project is successful. But you know what? Angie? In our break, I just got text from my apple-picking cousin who wanted a report on how my apples were coming along.
Well, what are you going to say?
Well, I'm going to tell her that I made probably a gallon or so of applesauce.
Mm. Oh, is it good? I wish I liked applesauce a little bit more because I'd love to try that.
Well, okay, I'll bring you. You can try it.
Okay.
You can try. You know, baby mouth because you're not worthy. You're not worthy of a big mouth because you got
No, you're not. I have to earn it.
And I made two apple pies.
Okay, you made two apple pies, but I haven't had one yet.
No, right. And so I still have probably about 20, 25 pounds of apples.
Oh, my God.
So
I want to see what that looks like.
Oh.
20, 25 pounds of apples.
Oh, well, the 20, 25 pounds of apples is nothing. That's not a lot of apples at all.
It's not.
But no. That's not many apples at all. So that
like
you
the size
can,
of a large cat.
No. It's not a lot of apples at all. So, but anyway, so you kind of have to look at the apples. They were in the trunk of my car for a long time.
Did you get any green ones or do you?
Yeah,
just like,
all okay. different kinds, all different kinds. So I got green ones. I got red ones. I got all bunches of them. So,
oh my goodness! I'm looking at a picture right now.
Yep,
they're
she's
beautiful.
Looking at a picture of apples. That's not 25 pounds. That's more than that, because that was the apples when I picked them from.
They're in a wagon. They're plastic bags.
Well,
because
I needed
a wagon
after I picked them off the trees. I had to.
I guess you can't hold all these apples.
No, you can't hold all the apples.
Yeah, so you would need a wagon.
Yeah,
okay.
so you need a wagon.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, so I still got a bunch. I still got probably two bags left of apples.
You can even just give me some apples instead of like an apple pie. Just like bring me some apples because I would love that too.
I'll do both.
I'm getting so spoiled.
Yep. I'll do.
And they're healthy.
And they're healthy. And
yeah,
they're healthy.
Like
so.
They aren't they good for your teeth as well? Like when you bite into
good
them.
For, you know, because,
nature's toothbrush.
Now because. Okay. Remember I told you that, you know, a rotten apple.
Yes.
Spoils the bunch.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the other apple saying about healthy?
Not nature's toothbrush? Wait, what?
Come on. It's about...
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
You got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. So anyway, Angie would have gotten a thank you bell, but we're in a new studio today.
That's right,
so,
yes.
So kind of we got to figure out where the bells
impromptu.
Are. Give her a bell. But anyway, so Tom, what's in the news?
Well, you know, we were talking about apples before, Monsignor, and talking a little bit. And this past week, we actually celebrated October 16th. We celebrated World Food Day. Which is, I think, very important.
Angie,
we're talking about food.
Isn't that a segue? Apples, World Food. I like that. Whoa.
I like
World
it.
Food Day.
Okay.
It's the creation, actually, of the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, which first met on October 16th, 1945. And in order to be able to honor the first meeting of this day dedicated to feeding the hungry of the world, the United Nations promulgated World Food Day in 1979. And just to give folks a little bit of an idea about the state of world food, about 805 million people, or one out of nine people worldwide, live with what the United Nations called chronic hunger. In other words, they don't have enough calories, as the United Nations judges it, in order to be able to sustain their weight. 60% of these are women. 4 out of 10 of these children in poor countries are malnourished, which damages their bodies and their brains. And every year, almost 5 million children under the age of 5 die of malnutrition. So these are some of the things that they try to combat.
That's a lot. And how we doing? We doing any good?
We're doing good, actually. You know, it's funny. As you know, Monsignor, a couple of weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the Millennium Development Goals. And they were promulgated in September of 2000. And there was a 15-year time limit in order to be able to wind up meeting those goals. Some of the Millennium Development Goals had been met. For example, the first one was to eradicate extreme hunger in the world. And since then, about 40 countries have achieved that first target, which was halving the portion of their population who suffer from extreme hunger by 2015. So 40 of the poorest countries between 2000 and 2015 halved the number of their population that experiences extreme hunger. Now, that means there's still work to do, obviously. We know from the numbers before that there's still work to do. But at least we can see that if you do dedicate yourself to, you know, the alleviation of hunger, you can make strides.
Great. That's wonderful. That's good. And again, it's trite to say that the reality is that most things, the glass is half full and the glass is half empty. And both of those are the reality, that there are still millions and millions and millions of hungry people in the world, and that's a bad, bad thing. On the other hand, there aren't as many as there used to be because there's stuff going on, and it's so complicated. But the fact we're making progress and we're addressing it is a half-full glass. The fact that we haven't solved it and there are too many hungry people is a half-empty. So it's kind of both of those are true. Anything else you got?
There, yes, Monsieur. Now, you know, hunger isn't the only problem in the world, of course, we know. Another big problem is homelessness. So just so people know, back at the beginning of the month the Vatican, at the direction of Pope Francis, the Vatican and the Jesuits over there opened a new dormitory for homeless folks for 34 men called the Gift of Mercy. It opened up around the corner from the Vatican. The dormitory once functioned as a travel agency, interestingly enough. But as you both may remember, Pope Francis had kind of called folks recently to kind of use the facilities that the different orders had to be able to help the poor. So the Jesuits in Rome decided to open up this Gift of Mercy. As I said before, it can house 34 men. It's run by Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. And the Gift of Mercy dorm now accompanies the Gift of Mary dormitory that's run also by the Missionaries of Charity, which opened in 1988, that houses homeless women. So the Holy Father is putting his money where his mouth is, and he's actually housing the homeless very close to the Vatican.
Okay. That's, again, a positive thing. And, you know, in our church, one of the things that we believe very, very importantly in is the value of signs, the value of symbols. And, you know, a number of the things that Pope Francis has done recently, if one can, and I heard, you know, somebody kind of say, well, you know, he said the Vatican was going to take in two refugee families. It was going to, well, there are millions of refugees in the world. And so people say, well, you know, what's that mean? Well, it means that this is an important sign, important symbol of what people should be doing to the extent that they have the capacity to do it. So maybe the two isn't all that important. But what is important is that the Pope says, hey, I'm going to at least do a little bit to make sure this is the case and lets everybody do what they can do to do it. The same with this Gift of Mercy and the homeless situation. It's not going to solve the homeless situation, but it says, hey, we all have to do this in order to cooperate. Now, I'll tell you, you know, right here in New York, we have a problem with people on the streets. Now, Angie, I know you're a relatively new New Yorker, but I bet you, as you've walked around,
yes,
you see people on the streets.
Yes.
And I bet you, you know, I'm just speculating, mm-hmm, probably for two reasons, not as much in Austin, Texas.
Not as much. We still have homeless people in Austin, but not the extent that you have it here.
And the other thing, which I think is probably true, they might be quite as noticeable because this is well known, but New York is one of those places where people walk a lot more than they drive.
Oh, yeah. Austin, you really don't just walk places.
Exactly. So that if there's a homeless person someplace, like on a stoop or something, you're driving by, you might not even see the person because you're in your car. Here in New York, if you walk into the subway station, you're walking to the bus, you walk into the store, you know, and somebody's there, it's hard to not see that person. So, but in New York here, what Cardinal Dolan has said is we got to do our part to do our thing. And so, in fact, Catholic Charities, in collaboration with another organization in New York City, is going to be using one of the two of the buildings that no longer are being used for either convents or rectories, and in those buildings, providing shelter and housing and beds for probably about 70 people who are on the street. So that's, and we'll do more, but that's our goal is to get these beds available so people these 70 people can come in off the streets before the cold of winter. So we're working hard over the next couple of months to make sure that that gets done. So, you know, and again, does that solve the whole crisis? No. But two things, I think, what you say about whenever you do something like this is, hey, for those 70 individuals, it's going to make a tremendous difference in their lives. But secondly, it creates a sense that everybody should be doing their part to try to make sure that this we deal with this problem and the problem of homelessness. Tom, we got any other news?
Well, one thing, Monsignor, you had mentioned obviously the homeless, and Catholic Charities, interestingly, down in Western Tennessee, has a very interesting new social enterprise that they're undertaking. It's called Bouquets of Hope. And what this this does is it puts volunteers and hard-to-employ clients of Catholic Charities of Western Tennessee, many of whom are homeless, and it puts them together with volunteers who come from florists and floral arrangers. And what they do is they repurpose flowers that are donated from weddings and funerals or special events, and then they make them into smaller bouquets that are delivered to patients in hospitals, nursing homes, and hospices throughout the Memphis area. And they're also, for the holidays, they're looking to put them together and to make them into decorations, to dry the flowers out and make them into decorations for trees, with the hope that eventually what will wind up happening is the folks who are getting this training and putting these bouquets together will be able to get jobs, hopefully, at one point with these florists. They'll have a skill that they're able to wind up marketing. So if you go to Catholic Charities of Western Tennessee and you Google Bouquets of Hope, you will be able to help them out by purchasing some of these ornaments for the holidays.
Great. All right. Why don't we take a break? I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Brian Allen, who is the chair of the volunteer committee of the Board of Catholic Charities Junior Board. And we're going to speak about the St. Nicholas Project, which is the recipient of the funds raised by Mark Murphy and his cohort of 10 other runners on Team Charity. So join us when we come back in 2 minutes. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. We speak with those people who try to make our world more just and more compassionate. And we're going to be speaking now with the volunteer chair of the Junior Board of Catholic Charities. And the Junior Board of Catholic Charities is a group of young professionals who try to make our world a better place by participating in a number of the activities of Catholic Charities. They do volunteer work. They raise some money. They socialize. They try to deepen their spirituality. And so in a variety of ways, they kind of do make our town more just and more compassionate. And we're delighted that Brian Allen is with us. And Brian, thank you so much for taking the time in the middle of your day to kind of be with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Monsignor.
Good. Great. So tell us a little bit about yourself and give our listeners a little bit of sense of how you came to be involved in the Junior Board of Catholic Charities.
Well, I'm an attorney by trade, and I was looking for something outside
and
of
so
of
I can't resist. I can't resist one of those attorney jokes. So you needed some redemption.
I did, actually. Okay. That was actually what I was looking for. As attorneys, we have all these, professional organizations we go to. But, we do a lot of pro bono work as attorneys, but you need one way to really give back on a personal level. And that's what I was looking for, and I found it with the Junior Board. I joined in the summer of 2013, and I got started with attending the monthly midnight runs that Mario and was running at the time. It was a wonderful way to really actually have some impact. We would meet once a month. We'd make meals, sandwiches, and we'd go out and deliver it to the homeless and hungry of New York. And I really, really enjoyed it. And after about a year, I was given an opportunity to take over the midnight runs with another volunteer, Ricky. And then from there, we sort of were given the opportunity to run the volunteer committee and build out into other areas. And so it's been a great, great experience so far.
Well, that is great, and I'm delighted, and I want to thank you for your generosity and your participation in the Junior Board and its various activities. But give our listeners a little sense about the St. Nicholas Project, because this is one of those projects that the Junior Board has kind of taken under its wing to kind of support and to make sure this is a really successful project. So tell our listeners about the St. Nicholas Project.
So the St. Nicholas Project is, in fact, what the Junior Board was created to really support. It's a year-round fundraising event that culminates in December of each year with a shopping day at Kmart. And what it does is it provides Christmas gifts to approximately 4,000 needy families. Often those gifts are gifts of clothing, coats, hats, winter jackets, gloves, and what we do is we raise money all year long, and again, culminates with this shopping day where literally hundreds of volunteers descend on a Saturday in December down in Kmart, and each volunteer, as they come in, are given a profile of one family in need, and you get a little bit about mom, dad, and the kids, their ages, sizes, and a little blurb about a little bit about them. And then you go out and you shop for them. You spend about $50 per person, and you try to give a little personal touch, something special for their Christmas gifts. Oftentimes, these may be the only gifts that they're going to receive on Christmas. So you shop for them, and then these gifts are then sent up to the families in need.
Brian Allen is the chair of the Volunteer Committee of the Junior Board of Catholic Charities, and we're speaking about one of the projects, the St. Nicholas Project, that the Junior Board has taken under its wing. And specifically, I would say it's a year-round project, and it helps families throughout the year. But Brian has begun to talk to us about kind of, I would say, a high point of that, which kind of culminates in early December with a huge shopping day. And I think, one of the things that a lot of the volunteers who do the shopping love is that they're shopping with other people's money. So it's not their own money. And actually, Angie, who's here in the studio, we're going to get Angie to come and do shopping day this year. On what, Brian, give Angie the date of shopping day.
December 12th is going to be this year.
December 12th, and it's in your neighborhood.
East Village?
Yes. It's at Kmart on...
I know just where that is. It's by Astor Place,
you
right?
You got it, right there. Yep. So no excuse.
No, I would love to do that.
Yep, and bring your roommates.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Brian, good recruitment. We got somebody, and she can come shopping with other people's money. So that's what...
That's wonderful.
That's a wonderful piece of it. But Brian, so... You've been a participant in the day. Can you describe the day for our listeners? Paint them a picture of it, because I just think it's a wonderful scene there. See if you can paint a picture over the radio to our listeners of the day.
So you have to imagine the entire Kmart store is flooded with volunteers in red shirts. Everyone gets their red St. Nicholas Project shirt, and a lot of them are wearing their Christmas their Santa hats, and literally it floods the entire store. We take up about 90% of the registers, literally hundreds of volunteers where they are shopping, bringing up to registers their clothing and gifts. A whole group of people are then behind the registers, ringing it up, packaging these the gifts that are then going to be sent to the families in need. And just this constant stream of activity of literally hundreds of people for about an eight-hour period of just shopping and community and just the Christmas spirit, really.
Well, and Brian, I think you really painted a great picture of it. And one of my favorite scenes in that whole picture is it's two floors, basically. The store, actually three, but we basically are on two floors. And there's an escalator. And you can see everybody going up and down the escalator with their carts filled with clothes. And it's just an incredibly – it's both – it's inspiring and it's warm and it's kind of fun all at the same time. And it's with all the volunteers there, it's just, excuse me, just a great, great day. But, you know, Brian, one of the things which I'll share with our listeners, which I think you pointed out, but I want to make sure our listeners understand it, is, you know, you get a sheet of paper which has on it the family you're actually shopping for. And it's, so it says a mom who is large. So you have to find a large sweater for her. It says a seven-year-old boy, and that he's small, and you got to find something that fits him. And it's kind of like, and what I see are volunteers there. They really are impressed that this is not just kind of a statistic. And they're not just doing shopping, but it's for this family. And that kind of makes it very, very real that it's a real interaction, you know, through the vehicle of gifts, where you really get a feel for some of our hurting neighbors who wouldn't get a sweater. They wouldn't get pajamas. They wouldn't get, towels if it weren't for what you guys do and the junior board to make this happen.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think one of the really nice things about it is it's not just, even though mom could be a large, it's what would she like? And if you really feel like you're shopping for shopping, there's a little bit of connection where you're shopping for these people and trying to find out not just what would fit them, but what would they really enjoy getting? And how can I best get in the, you know, the $50 we have per person, how can I get what they really need and what I think that they would really like? And I think... I've worked at registers for the last couple of years, and you know, the comments I get from the volunteers who are coming up is they're most impressed with themselves on the children, the young children. I think that she'll really love this coat or this sweater. He's absolutely going to like, and that's where I think they really. You're absolutely right with the connection of making the connection with the people in need.
And the other thing, which is also part of it, is while you know it's a little bit too hectic for like very small children to be there, but it's not hectic for teenagers to be there, and so sometimes teenagers come with their moms, and you can see moms like talking to their teenagers about, or their, you know, maybe sometimes 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds saying, you know, what do we think that this person would like? What should we get? And sometimes you see the young man, the young woman getting into it and saying, you know, I want to get this because this is what I think the person would like. And it's you know, and again, it's part of what we're about at Catholic Charities. We got to keep statistics, we got to keep metrics, we file reports, we do all of those type of things. But it really is about an individual, and it's about a family, and it's connecting neighbors with neighbors in some of our programs, and that's what this is about. And I, you know, the junior board has just gotten into it so much. So, Brian, thank you for everything you've done there. You're going to do the register again this year?
Yes, I hope so.
Okay, and now we got Angie coming with her friends, and we're gonna have a great day on December 12th. And if anybody is interested in volunteering, just go to our Catholic Charities New York website, and you will find our St. Nicholas Project, and you can volunteer as a volunteer shopper for 2 or 3 hours on Saturday morning, either early morning or late morning, and you can make a difference in the life of people who are in need. So, hey, Brian Allen, thank you so much for taking the time, and I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at Kmart at our St. Nicholas Project.
Thank you, Monsignor.
Great. So, you know, it's wonderful. Today we spoke with people who are generous in a variety of ways. We're speaking with people who are running marathons to raise money to help families in need. We spoke with an attorney, Brian, who is doing the part of bagging stuff so that people have clothes that they can take. You know, it's a good story. Sad that so many people need the help, but great that there are so many generous neighbors. Thanks for being with us on Just Love, and just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and we'll make a more just and compassionate world. Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.